All right, we're continuing Splash 2011, and we've been talking about JavaScript today specifically.
Hi, I'm Sam Tobin-Hochstadt. I'm a research professor at Northeastern University, and I also work with a bunch of folks on the TC39 committee, which is developing the next version of ECMAScript, or JavaScript. And one of the things that I've focused on is the development of the module system that we're building for the next version of JavaScript.
Excellent. Now, that's been essentially approved for Harmony?
So nothing is approved until it's shipping on the web, but it's already something that we as a committee have come to consensus on, and it's been built into a prototype implementation in Mozilla's self-hosting Narcissus interpreter, and we're starting to think about production-level implementations in real VMs and talking to both the SpiderMonkey implementers and the Chrome implementers, who are the two browsers that are really leading the way in implementing new JavaScript features.
Okay, so let's talk about modules. I mean, what are they? How do they work? Why do they matter?
So fundamentally, modules are about organizing and structuring your code. And JavaScript these days is not just a language for making the hamster dance when you click on something. Mm-hmm. It's a language that's used to write large applications. And that means that we have to structure our programs into libraries. And that's already happening on the web. You go to GitHub, you see hundreds, thousands of JavaScript libraries. You see tons of people using jQuery, YUI, underscore JS, every kind of library. But JavaScript doesn't have a module system to support breaking your programs up into chunks, reusing those chunks in an effective way. And that leads to people having to develop design patterns on top of the features that JavaScript already provides in order to try to simulate having modules in the language.
Okay.
And that's worked well, and there's really cool work like require.js and the common.js module system that have built on top of what you already have in JavaScript, but by extending the language, we can really do a lot more and make life better for JavaScript programmers.
Excellent. Now, modules specifically would be most useful for library designers.
So,
yes or no?
We think that modules are something that everyday JavaScript programmers are going to use as well. So you're going to, if you're writing only three lines of JavaScript, then yeah, probably you don't need modules.
Okay.
But if you're writing a web page, you're going to want to break your code up into pieces. You're going to want to say, I want to import this library from this website, from this other site on a content distribution network, on some other portion of your page. And one of the things that modules does is it exposes the dependency structure of your program. So if you have a module declaration that says, I'm fetching jQuery from the Google CDN, then your browser is going to be able to see that URL statically in your source code and be able to start prefetching it before you even execute that load. Whereas right now, if you're loading that with a JavaScript insertion of a script or a document.write call or a eval with a XHR request, you have to, your browser doesn't know that that's going to happen in the future, and so it has to wait until things actually happen. Whereas when we give you a declarative syntax, you can specify more, and browsers can take advantage of that.
That's excellent. Very, very cool. Now, since you've been doing work with the TC39 committee, it seems like JavaScript is growing into a mature language and starting to kind of look not like a scripting language anymore.
So I think JavaScript has the ability to be both a scripting language and a language in which we write robust applications. And we're really trying on TC39 to address both of those use cases. We want to preserve the ability of JavaScript to be a language that you can write quick scripts in, that people can get started with easily, that is accessible to newcomers to the language, but that's not JavaScript's only role anymore, and it is a mature language. It is a language that people are using to build applications with hundreds of thousands of lines of code. It's a language that's being used to write real server-side industrial-strength applications with Node.js or Rhino, and that means that we need to support those use cases as well. And module systems and the module system we're planning to bring to the next version of JavaScript is one of the key features for doing that.
Excellent. Very cool. Now, what sort of, what place are you in this development of modules in terms of maturity of the idea?
So I've been co-designing the module system with Dave Herman, who's a researcher at Mozilla Research. Mm-hmm. And we've been iterating on this design for almost 2 years now. And our initial, it still resembles our initial idea, but we've been able to refine it based on feedback from the committee, from the community, from prototype implementation experience, and it's really getting into a well-specified final form. Of course, we're going to learn more about it when we implement it in production high-performance VMs like SpiderMonkey and V8, and we're going to learn more about it when we actually sit down with Alan Worfsbrock, the editor of the actual ECMAScript specification document, to fit the module system semantics into the way we write down the standard. And that's going to inform the design, and potentially things will change in some ways. But we think that the design is really in form that we want to have it for the next version of the language.
Excellent. Now, my assumption is that creating, syntactically creating modules is very JavaScript-y.
Yeah, so you're just going to write module, and you're going to put a curly brace, and then you're going to write code like you do in JavaScript.
Excellent.
With the one addition that you can then, say, export before a variable declaration, a function declaration, and those are going to be accessible to people who import your module. And then when you import a module, you're not going to, instead of getting an object that you can reference properties out of the way you do with common JS or required JS, you're going to get those actual names in scope that you can just refer to. So if you import the math module, you're going to get all of the mathematical functions. If you import some other module, you're going to have prefixes. It's going to simplify your code, and it's also going to mean that your VM engine is able to tell these are the references to particular module exports, and that's going to give it the ability to do better optimization.
Great. Now, in terms of when you think about modularity, I mean, it means in some sense isolation from or encapsulation of all the code that you need without having to worry about external dependencies. So when you write a module, is it legal to reference out to another module?
Yeah, it's definitely legal to do that. We want to keep a module system for JavaScript lightweight, so it's really easy to specify an external dependency. You just can say that you're importing from some other module. You can declare another module as having a source at a URL. Okay. You can also write down a module at any point inside another module, so you get sort of arbitrary composition and nesting of modules. And you can import any of these modules. Inside your module, you don't have to have some linking step like in some of the Java module system proposals or in C or something like that.
Okay, I see. And so in some sense, it's just really a housekeeping in the sense of containers of code.
So
when I think about a module, right, it's a it's so I understand so modularity and what you're trying to accomplish. My question is, in some sense, it looks like it's just a way for JavaScript developers to compartmentalize and I guess modularize is the obvious word to use, chunks of code.
Yeah, so that's, I think, the primary use case for modules is to help you organize your code, to help you encapsulate particular functionality, and to let you specify, I want to make these pieces of my module available as my public interface, and maybe not these other internal implementation details that I'm potentially going to change later. So, and we want to make that really easy. But the module system also supports more dynamic operations that let you do more and build more interesting abstractions. So in addition to the simple way you just declare a module, import modules, you can also dynamically create and load new modules.
Okay.
So you can set up what we're calling a loader, which is really just a sandbox for modules, and you can specify the behavior of code in that loader. And that means that you can do things like prevent code in a that you want to evaluate from accessing anything off of a particular site. So
okay.
if you are building a mashup, you want to be able to say, this piece of code can only access from this server over here, this other piece of code gets access to this other resource. And we want to be able to let you dynamically set up those compartments and let them talk to each other only in the ways that you want to specify.
So that actually, that's interesting, because when you think about strict mode, and of course the great work Mark Miller and team are doing, how is that going to impact the behavior model of modules? And so as you had just said, if I'm going to bring in a module from some website, and I want to be able to have explicit control over what I want to use out of that module in the context of say, my page.
Yeah.
Or even the module that's calling it in.
Yeah.
How does that work? What are the semantics?
So basically, you create a new loader, and you say, here's the permissions I'm going to give to code that's running in this loader. Mm-hmm. And that might mean it can access these particular other modules. It might mean I'm going to run some check, like the kind of checking that Mark Miller has built in his Caja tool to verify that your program doesn't violate certain invariants. Or you could use something like AdSafe or FBJS to enforce particular restrictions, and then you say, inside this loader, now I want to load this external code.
Okay.
And that means you can load it in, run it, and it can't take down your page if you haven't given it the right to do that.
Excellent. So at the end of the day, it's going to also help us to write cleaner code in the sense of these really large applications. You can now modularize them or break them up into modules and then be able to determine which component you want to share with other things. And
yeah,
I mean, that's nice.
So if you are just structuring one JavaScript program where you don't have to build it out of separate pieces that you might not be the author of, then modules are going to be a really straightforward solution for breaking your code up into pieces and organizing it for you. If you need to mash up different pieces of code,
yes.
we're also going to provide you with more advanced features that let you control who can get to what. And finally, one other thing is, one of the new hot trends in web programming is languages that compile to JavaScript.
Yes.
And we've seen the rise of CoffeeScript. Here at Splash, we saw Alon Zakai's great work on Mscripten. And one of the things that we're building into the module system is the ability to add translation hooks so that you can specify, I want to load this program that's written in CoffeeScript, and I want to specify that it's going to get translated into JavaScript when I load it. And then you can, so that means you can natively integrate programs written in CoffeeScript or in ClojureScript or other languages that translate to JS into your web page or into your dynamic loading of source code.
And you do that right from your module.
Yeah. So you can say, I want to create a loader, and not only is it going to have these resources, but it's going to have this translator. And you can just pull down Jeremy Ashkenaz's translator from CoffeeScript to JavaScript, plug that in, and now you can load a CoffeeScript file from some other site, bring it in, and run it and treat it like it was native JavaScript code.
Which brings up an interesting point. I mean, what about the notion of writing a module in CoffeeScript in line
So writing a module in CoffeeScript inline brings up a whole another pile of challenges with the syntax and figuring out how to specify all of that. Mm. I think that would be a really cool place to go eventually with something like the module system. And we've in fact seen some talks here at Splash where people are pushing in that direction. Mm. And I've worked in other research at Northeastern on how you can build systems out of multiple totally different languages that compose. Yeah. But I think right now for JavaScript, we're focusing on what we know how to do well and what we can bring to web developers in the near future.
Excellent. And well, great work. And I look forward to seeing what you guys eventually come up with for modules and all the other very interesting features in Harmony. Or ES6 or whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah. Well, the Harmony process is continuing, and we're planning not to stop with the next version of ECMAScript, but to continue on and continue trying to make JavaScript a great language for both building web applications and building all kinds of applications.
Excellent, man. Well, great to meet you.
Great to talk to you.